I'm so privileged to be here today and just enjoy wonderful worship before the King. And I don't know how you felt, but you could feel his presence here. He's here. And I just pray that we don't get used to it. He's an awesome God. He's a wonderful Father. I want to share something. I really respect Pastor. He has a word, he's a teacher, and I have no problem. You're being taught well through the word of God. But today I come to encourage you. I come to speak encouragement to you to continue into what God has for you as individuals and as a church. And so I will share some things. We live in a world where we're boxed in with so many things. The world is defining us, redefining what it means to live. And as Christians, we are in the world. And the things of this world are affecting us. But how can we have effective or more impact as salt and light? How can our lives be filled? How can we be effective? How can we bring the presence of God as in the beginning, the early church and all the people who have walked with God? Turn of the century. We are not just a generation that will talk about revival that passed. We must experience that and even more. I'm not worried about what the world is doing. That is, no, God is not even worried about the world. The world has to behave like the world has to behave. So the Bible says, darkness will be upon the people and cross darkness upon the nations. But as for us, he said, arise and shine, for your light has come. And the key thing here is that the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. And that the brightness of your rising up, many will come. The kings will come to the brightness of your rising. But you look around, we see frustrated Christians. You look around who are despairing just like the world. We're engaging in politics at a similar level. We have the same hopes like we think the world, the things of the world, like we are of this world. I know we are part of this world, and literally we are part of what goes on, but you have been called to be the answer and the solution to what is going on. And so today I want to share a few scriptures here with you, just to let you know, as a Christian, how can you live in continuous personal revival? You need, and what by that I mean is not quote revival, it's just how can you walk in God's presence? Daily, it's possible. It's possible to hear him, to walk with him. But why is he so far off today? Why are we so alone? And so today, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore henceforth thou shalt have wars. He's talking about the king Asa, who did not seek God but sought the ways of the world. And so God began to speak to him that God is ready. His eyes are running to and fro. He's scanning the earth, looking for people whose hearts, in other translations, says are loyal to him. Or are complete in him, which means that word perfect means complete. It doesn't mean perfect in the sense that you are sinless, but it means that your heart is focused totally on God. He's looking for that. Because true ministry, it is not just something we choose. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work which he ordained before time. In other words, if we seek his face, he will lift us and position us in what he has already seen. And so he told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and ordained you a prophet to the nation. There's something about you that God that you have forgotten about, that sense of mission and purpose that is in the heart of God for you. You have allowed the world to define what it means to live, what it means to be alive, to live life. But we have missed to go back to the source so that we can embrace that which the Father has for us already. God has a purpose for your life. God has ordained something for you. And what he desires is that you come and step into that. I realized one time a man told me, when you find your purpose, you don't have to ask God to bless you, because it comes packaged with what he created you for. When you flow with what he has designed your life for, everything responds and you flow in life. Some of us are struggling because we are out of our purpose for life. And God can sustain you, but you can't experience the fullness of God out of your purpose for life. You must be there. And the greatest prayer that I would ask you to pray in this hour and time, you're not late, is to ask God, what is my purpose? What do you want me to do today? Because he sees the tomorrow and today are open in his eyes. He knows what he's designed you for. Would you ask him to and allow you to align yourself, realign you again to that which you were born for? That is where your peace is. That is where your joy is. That is where your sense of fulfillment is. It is no struggle when you fit into that which God ordained for you. And so God is looking, not because he doesn't see. He's scanning your heart. Is your heart towards him? Or just pursuing things? In this hour, there's so many things going on. If somebody is not willing to focus their life where it matters most, we will miss and we'll be taken into the current situations of what is going on in the world. And instead of being the solution, being the light, we'll just be afraid as the world is. People, greater is he that is in us than the one that is outside. We carry the solution, we carry the answer. But if we are not careful, the world will define us. The world will shape how we think and what we ought to do. And in the process, it negates our ability to be effective influence in the world. So what do? I want to share with you some things here quickly about what is God looking for. When he went to the house of Jesse, there were great men. And he looked at them. Even the prophet, the man of God, was deceived in looking at the stature. They were wonderful men. They were men who were able to be kings. If he looked in the eyes of man, those seven sons of Jesse were qualified. But the spirit never, the anointing didn't pour out, because their heart was not in the right place. Until he said, is there no other son? And they went for David, who was hiding, taking care of the sheep. And when he came, the anointing began to flow. The thing is, the Bible says, God does not look at the out appearance. God looks at the heart. And today, that's what I want to emphasize to you. Where is your heart? Is it loyal? Is it towards God? Is it longing for God? You look at the life of David, you cannot be surprised that God was looking for him. He cries out as a deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs for you. He was a man, while these guys were parading themselves to be used of God, he was worshiping God alone. He learned to entertain the presence of the Father when nobody was watching. Today we can't afford to be alone in a minute without a phone or something. We have to have somebody. We have to have something. We are communicating because we are really not communicating, but we just want to be trying to do something. Yeah, we just want to be busy doing something. You are even sending a text that has no meaning, but you're feeling you have to do something. So what do? We are afraid to be alone and quiet and reflect and see who we are. We think we are afraid of the world. We are afraid of ourselves. We can't face ourselves in the reality of where we are. But truth is, God is not worried with the technology. He's not. It's not like he's scratching his head that, oh, this generation is now full of technology. He's aware. He saw it before it happened. What can we do in spite of what is there? How can we go in the secret place? Is there any such a thing as a secret place anymore? Where are you alone with God? I see people go to the beach, very beautiful place, but even there they still have their things and they forget they went to see the beautiful ocean and this. We are being denied a beautiful thing. We have forgotten the power of beholding. And if you do not see, how would you understand? Praise the name of the Lord. And so today I challenge you to reach out to a life beyond what we have today. And so read with me in the book of Isaiah 57. That's where I will get my messages quickly. This is the most, a generation that is more endured than any generation ever alive. This is what the Bible says. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. This is what he says. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And all of us want revival. But what is it? Is revival series of meetings we make? And one thing that frustrates me when we talk about revival is we want the community to be changed. But we don't want to change. Revival begins with us. Individual, corporate, as a church. Revival is the presence of God. The manifest presence of God. But what is that? That is God coming down in simplicity. One man defined it as God coming down. You see it in Egypt when the children of Israel were going through all the bondage. The Bible says God said, I have heard and I've heard their cry and I've seen their affliction of my people. And therefore I have come down. He was sending Moses, but he had come down. So God knows. When Moses began to argue and cry, he said, I will be with you. I just want you as an instrument. I will do the work. Just be there as instrument in my hand. But the key word I want you to see that God came down. God was watching everything. He heard their cry. They were not praying in a revival meeting. They just, the work, the God saw their pain, the affliction. He saw that. And there was some of them, it was silent cry. Is there any hope? Is there any life beyond the routine we're going through? Every day you wake up as a slave, your work is cut out. Is there any life beyond this? We may not be slaves today, but somehow life is enslaving us to things. And we're not experiencing life as we ought to do. We're not happy. The church should be a place where there's joy. The place where we are overflowing with joy because we know we have the Redeemer. We have one who loves us. We have our King. It doesn't matter how politics play out in our country. We have the King that will never be voted in or out. He's there forever. At least the Bible says he intervenes in the affairs of men. What we need to do is to cry out to Him so that our hearts, my heart for you today is revival, is our response to God's coming down. Do we need it? Is there a cry in our spirit for something better? Is there a reaching out for life that is higher than where we are today? Because God dwells in a higher place. This lowland of life, He's not there. God dwells in a higher and a holy place. And if we cannot reach Him, we have to reach out to a higher life. We have to dream of a life that is not this ordinary way of living. Good. Hallelujah. Listen to me. If the creator of the universe is our, I think it was one guy called D.L. Moody. He said, if God be your partner, then let your plans be big. In other words, these guys were dreamers. Yeah. And God steps in our life always to give us a dream that is way beyond us to fulfill it. He's calling us to a higher life. And so Paul said, I count all this as dung and reaching out to that high calling in Christ Jesus. There's something higher than where we are today. I challenge you today. Let in your heart a cry be born to be in the presence of the living God. When we stay in His presence, the Bible says, in His presence is the fullness of joy. There's no way you have fullness of joy without everything responding. So the things we're asking for are already in His presence. Hello. Praise the name of the Lord. It's true. He told Abraham, I know you are looking for your blessings from me. But He said, I am your shield and exceedingly great reward. The greatest reward is God Himself. For we were created for Him. And we are not complete until we are walking in His presence. We were designed, if I can. Somebody said, like, fish cannot survive without water. Our true potential can only be realized when we are in the presence of God. That's where we were designed to be. Right. It provokes us to come out. They who are planted in the courts of Almighty shall flourish. In other words, flourishing begins when we are planted in His courts, in His presence. When we are rooted in who He is, then we flourish. The reason we are humbled and limited is because we are planted in so many things. America has enjoyed powerful blessings from God. As a nation, you can look back and see the heritage of your fathers and say, yes, yes, yes. And politically, that's why you are fighting to retain that. But the truth is, those guys paid the price. They never just wanted it. They never defended it. You don't have to defend a lion. Remove the lion from the cage, he will defend himself. Right, right. We spend a lot of time defending Jesus. Maybe we should present Him rather than defend Him. Amen. He is capable of defending Himself. He can handle any situation, any political, anything. God, just the problem is we are the instrument. He can step out on the stage of life through you and me. Give Him an opportunity and see how He will revive this nation again. How He will turn this nation again to Himself. While we may point fingers, we don't pray. We don't worship Him. I was with a pastor friend who was lamenting how the football situation. Said, maybe God is trying to tell you that we don't have to waste Sunday watching that. We need to go back to evening services and worship God rather than complain what is going on. It's a Sunday thing. I know it doesn't sound well, but the truth of the matter is, if we're going to see God again, we have to have a shut-in with Him until He answers. Rachel reached a point in her life where she was so desperate for a child that she couldn't take it anymore. And she went to her husband and said, give me children or die. How desperate are we for God to touch our nation, to touch our community? And that is the words somebody, John Knox, took for Scotland. And he cried the same prayer, give me Scotland or I die. And revival hit the land and changed the political and cultural environment of that country. Why are we ignoring the set ways and impressing different things to see revival? Somebody say revival is the only, the price tag of revival has no discount. What others paid, we pay for it. God is not seeing that this generation is a little bit has more problem. I will lower the standard. No, the standard is the same. And this is the standard. We have to desire it. The currency for this is our thirst and hunger. He said, blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There is, in Isaiah 55, he said, come and drink, come and buy, you who thirst. And so we see, in John 7:37-38, he says, come and drink, you who thirst. The direction of the water is coming into me. But he didn't conclude. He said, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. It will only flow when you have drunk out of your thirst for him. And so if we really want to see the revival, the rivers flowing from us, we must drink. For the river will change its course. It comes into you now, it finds it's flowing into the community. Would you be willing? The things God has for you are so holy and so beautiful that if you don't feel like you care, he won't give it to you. He loves you enough. He loves you. But if you're going to see his glory, you must be aware. Amen. And you must be desperate for it. You must want it. In Isaiah 37, 36, 36, 37, he said, I will have Israel ask of me, and I will give them men as a flock. I will increase them with men. In other words, he's asking you to ask. There are certain things he will do it. But we have a tendency not to value what comes cheaply. And so God has said, but what is the price? We need to reach out to a higher life. How do we do this? How do I attain this life? We need to accept that where we are is not enough. We can't change a generation with the kind of life we have today. Do you agree? Amen. Then we need to pray. Reaching out is prayer. Reaching out is worshiping him. Reaching out is being in his word. It begins to shift how you think, how you see things. You must be in his presence. But how do we reach him? According to the Bible says, he dwells with those who are broken and contrite spirit. So for us to reach out to the higher life, we must bow low. We must bow low that's the ordained way to reach him. The world tells us if you want to be great, you can crush people in your way to greatness. But in our kingdom, going higher is going low. God is looking for the humble and those with contrite spirit, broken in their hearts. What does that mean? It means people who have reached the end of themselves and they realize, like what Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And we know we can do nothing, and therefore we don't want to go without him. And like Moses, we say, if your glory does not go with me, I don't want to go. I want to see your presence, Lord. It is time for us to realize God resists. In other words, he fights. He opposes the proud. In a simple translation, God will fight those who are proud. But he will give grace. Grace is a loaded word. This is, I could say, divine enablement in any area of your life is loaded in grace. Whether it's anointing to preach, whether it's wisdom, whether it's whatever it is, grace will be given to the humble. And so the Lord says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. That's the beginning. Humility recognizes that what Jesus did on the cross, I couldn't do. If you think you can do something, then what he did is in vain. All he said is not true. But the Father looked and all had sinned. None was righteous. None was able to. And so while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And so all of us at the cross qualify. But it is not us, but God working through us. And therefore we give glory to him. Humility, therefore, is acknowledging that I don't know, I don't understand, I don't have what it takes, but I have a God who can help me. And so you have no excuse to say maybe God has some people and other people. And no, every one of us in his presence, we qualify. And sometimes our pride is veiled in false humility. You know God wants you to do something, you say, I can't. Why? Because we know you can't. Nobody can do it. Not even preachers can do it. It is by the grace of God. Then why do you say you can't? Humility, the brokenness. David says in Psalms 51 that God does not desire sacrifices, or he would have given it. But the sacrifice of the Lord is a broken and contrite spirit. Verse 16 or 17 of he said that I will not despise. In other words, we have offered so many beautiful things and God has despised them because it has not come from a heart that is broken in humility. Could it be the reason why we're not seeing any results in spite of, I mean churches at large, in spite of what we're doing? In Isaiah 66, verse 2, he says, but I look upon this man. This man do I look upon. He that is of broken and contrite spirit. God may not be looking at us. Why? Because in us there's pride. And when he looked at us, it looks elsewhere. But he will look upon this man or this woman who are broken and humble before him. We don't want God to despise us. We don't want God to look away. We want God to look upon us and see our weakness and feel us in his strength. God can do these things, people. Our desire, the problem in our generation is we desire revival. And whatever that means, we want it more than we want God. Revival is not, most of what we are calling revival is the results. We are looking for the fruit, but we are ignoring the tree. We want God to change our community. No, number one desire should be, I need to meet God, encounter God himself. He has the answers. But if you go beyond God and look for what he can do for you, you miss what it takes to have it work. And so all over the places, we are going for revival. But what is it? We are crying for God to change our nation. That's not revival. Cry for God to visit us. Cry to be in the presence of God. He has the answer. He is not only powerful, he's wise. He's not just wise, he's loving. And therefore, when you have him, look, it is you and me. In our nature, we don't have a heart for other people. We don't have that kind of love. We are selfish. And if we want to see true love, you must let the Holy Spirit shed abroad the love of God, the true love of God. Then we will love people with the true love. It is not in our nature to love. We love those who love back to us. That's normal. But the kind of love that will bring change to this community, to our world, is that which God says in Romans 5, I think 17, that God sheds abroad in our hearts. When the Spirit of the Lord releases that love in us, we become an unstoppable force. And when we are conscious of it and begin to live in that love, things begin to change. That love says, that Paul says, the love of God compelled me. It drove me. It was the driving force in what I do. The love of God becomes the driving force for my choices and decision in life. It is not my own because the Lord has given me love. That is not me. And therefore, he causes both me to will and to do his good pleasures. We can do these things and say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do this. But God is looking for brokenness. Expose our weakness. That's why throughout the Bible, most great men were born from barren women. I don't know why. Almost all of them that God used in the Old Testament, at least their mother was barren. From John the Baptist down to Samson to Isaac to Joseph, mothers were all barren. God took away the normal. And out of their desperation, he brought something out of them. I don't know why. But I guess he wanted them to know it's him who is giving them. And so, today, we go, oh God, we want joy of the Lord. But it is in his presence, people. God can't give you grace and separate himself from grace. He's God. He himself is the grace. He doesn't stand here and take grace and gives you grace and he stands aside. He doesn't want to live a life like that. The sign is that he wants to walk with you, be a co-worker with you, to walk with you in the field, to enjoy. Today we heard the word about partnership, a fellowship, and as a pride and as a wife and a husband, we share in life. He wants to share life with you. And therefore, let's change our prayers. God, it is you we need. Revival is the fruit of our presence of God in our life. It's the overflow of our life in partnership with God. It does not just happen. This man cried God to bend them so that he can flow. These guys cried for God to manifest through them, God to be there. I believe with all my heart, if God shows up, we have what it takes. The world is not respecting the church because we are arguing with the world. We can't win argument. They are a little bit more educated. They are a little bit more, they have more resources than we can ever have. Because the whole world, the Bible says, lies in the sway of the wicked one. We have countered this by depending on the king. And coming with the power, the greater is he that is in us than the one that is outside. It is not greater intellect, it's not greater anything else other than he, stronger than he, will come and bind the strong one in our lives. So today I challenge you to seek God. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, he said, without faith it's impossible to please God. But they that come to him must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not things, not even revival. But seek him. Because if you find him, he wants you to know that in finding him, you have found all you need. Because everything you need is in him. It's about time we went past healing to the healer. Amen. We went beyond the miracles to the miracle worker himself. Right. And seek not what he can do for us. And that's deliberately God has said, seek my face. We can't find the face of God and not see his hand manifest. But you seek his face, automatically hands will be manifest. His power will be released. So when we reach out, hallelujah, and bow low in brokenness, he comes. He gives grace. He looks upon us. And today I pray that the Lord will look upon us. The Lord will. Brokenness is dying to ourselves. Understanding that without, sometimes some of us are too powerful, too strong to be used by God. And he needs to break something that's like Jacob. So that we can go on a limb. That's where revival is. When he takes away our strength, he becomes our strength. And some of us, he's frustrating us, not because he hates us, but out of love to take away what you are putting your trust in, he becomes your trust. And you will say, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my hope. The Lord is my life. I encourage you people, as you seek the Lord and as you open your heart to see this community, I know you have that hunger, you have that desire as a church to touch this community for God, but please don't go alone. Let God be in the forefront of everything. It is an empty, in our emptiness that we are filled. Andrew Ray said, the water always finds the lowest place to fill. Flows to the lowest of the places. We want the word of the Holy Spirit, then we must bow low. Because that is where water will locate us. I had a message that I wanted to preach, and the Lord just insisted, I'm speaking to somebody today. Please, the Lord has something for you. We're going to see powerful move of God like you've never seen before. I believe God is about to release powerful things. May Jesus' water seeks to fill lowest place. So the moment God finds a best and empty vessel, he fills it with glory and power. I could summarize my message in one sentence, and it should be, when we humble ourselves because we are desperate for God, he will fill us with his glory and power. And that is when we can begin to see our children return to the Lord. That's when we see the seed of our womb blessed. When they begin to see, Bible says in the end time it will be like this. They will say, the seven women or whatever will hold the skirt of a Jew and say, we are going with you. Why? We have heard God is with you. Can we be that attractive? Can they look at us and see God and say, I'm going with you? It doesn't matter what. I may take care of myself, but I have heard God is with you. Do you know that we have that? The easiest, the one greatest gift that we're ignoring is the only gift that will answer so many of the maladies of this world, is to have God. Poor or rich, every one of us, God is a cry away from us. It's a prayer away from us. This is the only place we have equal ground. It doesn't mean that the rich can reach God more than us. Here is where we are equal. Everybody can cry out to the Lord. In prison or in poverty, in riches or whatever it is, nobody is disqualified to reach out to the Father, to call upon his name. We can reach out to our Father. He said, call upon me. I'll come and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I know you think you do, but there's things you do not know and you need to call. Things pertaining to your life, things pertaining to your destiny, things pertaining to your ministry, God wants to reveal them to you. And so, people of God, it's a season and a time to seek the Lord. But we must break the fallow ground. The seed cannot come on the ground that is hardened. And so the Bible says in Hosea 10, I think 12, break you the fallow ground. Break the fallow ground. Hallelujah. Let me read that as I conclude maybe to you. We need to break the fallow ground of our hearts that it may be pliable, broken before the Lord for the seed of the word to come. God is good, and his mercies endure forever. He has not abandoned us. We have. Where we left him, we can find him. The Bible says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon us. Break up the fallow ground. Our hearts can be very fallow, hard and strong, for not having been broken for a long time. A farmer cannot just go put his seed on the strong, hardened ground. You know you'll never get anything. Sometimes we pray as if God is reluctant to answer our prayers. He's more ready to bless us, but the condition of our heart is limiting what he can do. He wants to release the revelation and things, but our heart is not in the right place. And so he's looking for brokenness, just like a broken ground that the seed of the word may be planted in our lives, so that we may bear fruit for his glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this congregation, but you have strategically positioned them in this place for such a time as this. And I pray, Lord, that the sense of brokenness will be upon this house, and the Spirit of God will move upon this church and to rise up to fulfill her destiny. Let her light so shine that the world around this community will know there is hope in that place. There is life in that place. There are solutions in that place. Father, we carry you. You are the answer to this generation. Amen. We do not join those who are fearful, but we boldly declare it is time for us to arise and shine, for our light has come. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you.